Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. The Curse of Cash is a nonfiction economics book by Kenneth S. Rogoff that examines the role of physical currency in modern economies and argues that large denomination paper money creates serious policy and social problems. Drawing on monetary history, current financial practices, and the rise of digital payments, Rogoff makes the case that high-value banknotes help sustain tax evasion, illicit trade, corruption, and other forms of underground activity. He also argues that paper currency limits the ability of central banks to use deeply negative interest rates during recessions and financial crises. The book is both a policy argument and a forward-looking assessment of how money may evolve as societies move toward more digital forms of payment, rather than calling for the immediate end of all cash. It focuses on reducing or eliminating large bills while preserving small denominations and improving access to payment systems for people who rely on cash. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, why large denomination cash is central to the underground economy. Rogoff's core claim is that the biggest practical harm of cash comes from high-value notes, especially the $100 bill and similar large denominations in other countries. These bills make it easier to store wealth anonymously, move money without traceable records, and conduct transactions outside the formal banking system. In the book, this is linked to tax evasion, corruption, drug trafficking, terrorism finance, and other illicit markets. Rogoff does not treat every cash transaction as suspicious. Instead, he argues that the disproportionate usefulness of large bills for concealment makes them especially attractive for underground activity. His reasoning is based on a simple economic trade-off. The larger the denomination, the lower the physical burden of holding large sums, and the easier it becomes to hide value. The book uses this point to argue that currency design is not neutral. Denomination structure affects incentives, enforcement, and the size of the shadow economy, which is why Rogoff believes reform should begin with the biggest notes rather than with cash in general. Secondly, how cash creates a lower bound on interest rates. A major policy argument in the book is that paper currency limits what central banks can do when economies are weak. If interest rates are pushed too far below zero, people can avoid the penalty by withdrawing bank deposits and holding cash instead. Because paper money pays no nominal interest, it sets a floor under how negative policy rates can become. Rogoff argues that this constraint weakens central banks during recessions, when they may need more room to stimulate spending, raise inflation expectations, and support recovery. The book presents this as a structural flaw in modern monetary systems rather than a temporary technical problem. If cash remains readily available in large denominations, the threat of hoarding currency will keep central banks from using fully effective negative rates. Rogoff therefore sees currency reform as a way to restore policy flexibility. This argument connects the physical design of money to macroeconomic stabilization, showing how the existence of anonymous paper bills can influence recessions, inflation management, and the broader limits of monetary policy. Thirdly, a gradual reform strategy instead of abolishing all cash, Rogoff does not propose an immediate ban on money in your pocket. His plan is more selective and gradual, phase out large banknotes while keeping small denominations and coins available for everyday transactions. The point is to preserve some of cash's privacy and convenience while removing the versions most useful for storing and moving large sums anonymously. He also discusses transition problems, including how to protect ordinary users, especially people with limited access to banking services. One of his ideas is to provide subsidized debit cards or other low-cost payment tools, so that poor households are not harmed by reduced access to physical cash. This part of the book is important because it shows that the proposal is not simply punitive. It is framed as a redesign of payment infrastructure that tries to balance efficiency, inclusion, and enforcement. The gradual approach also reflects political realism. Rogoff understands that eliminating all cash would be far more disruptive than narrowing the role of high denomination notes. The proposal is thus a compromise between digital modernization and continued access to simple, low-value cash use. Fourthly, government-controlled digital money as the likely future of payments. The book places the cash debate in a longer history of monetary innovation. Rogoff argues that the private sector often invents new payment methods, but governments eventually regulate them and set the dominant rules. From that perspective, the rise of cryptocurrencies does not represent a permanent escape from state authority. Instead, he suggests that the likely endpoint is a world in which governments create or control the main digital currencies used by the public. This makes the book broader than a critique of banknotes alone. It is also a prediction about the institutional future of money. Rogoff views cryptocurrencies as potentially useful for evading oversight, comparing them in effect to large bills with even greater reach in some respects. That does not mean he thinks all digital money is bad. Rather, he believes that large-scale payment systems require regulation if they are to function safely. The argument links cash reform to the future of financial technology, suggesting that as societies move away from paper, The central question will be who controls the architecture of digital exchange and under what rules. Lastly, the book's strengths, controversies, and public policy implications. The Curse of Cash is notable not only for its thesis, but also for the debate it generated. Supporters praise it as a clear, ambitious, and provocative case for rethinking currency policy, especially because it connects crime prevention, tax enforcement, and monetary policy in one framework. Critics, however, argue that Rogoff overstates how much cash is used for illegal activity, underestimates legitimate cash use, and does not fully prove that eliminating large bills would deliver the gains he predicts. Others question whether negative interest rates are necessary or whether central banks can work around the cash lower bound through other tools. These criticisms matter because they show that the book is not a settled technical manual, but a policy intervention. Its value lies partly in forcing readers to examine assumptions about anonymity, seniorage, financial inclusion, and the power of monetary authorities. The book stands out in economics because it combines history, policy design, and public debate rather than treating currency as a narrow banking detail. Even readers who disagree with Rogoff can use it to sharpen their thinking about how payment systems shape behavior and state capacity. In conclusion, The Curse of Cash is best suited for readers interested in monetary policy, financial regulation, public finance, and the future of payments. Policymakers, economists, central banking professionals, and technically minded general readers will find it especially useful because it turns an ordinary object, paper currency, into a lens for analyzing crime, taxation, privacy, and economic stabilization. Its main benefit is not that it settles the cash debate, but that it frames the debate in unusually concrete terms: denomination structure, underground activity, and the lower bound on interest rates. That combination gives the book practical relevance beyond theory. Compared with most books on money, it is more focused on institutional design than on abstract monetary philosophy, and more policy-driven than descriptive. It stands out because Rogoff argues for a partial reform that is meant to preserve useful features of cash while removing the versions most tied to abuse. Readers who want a serious, argument-driven account of why physical money still matters will gain a clearer understanding of both the case for reform and the strongest objections to it. The book is especially valuable for anyone trying to think beyond slogans about cash versus digital money and toward the real trade-offs involved in modern payment systems. If you would like to support Kenneth S. Rogoff, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.